reading is Matthew chapter 2, and it's on that card that you've got in your seat. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Great, thanks, Laura. And great to see you all. Happy Christmas. And just a quick straw poll. Who was up at six? Five? Karen? Okay, you were so excited. Great. Four? Anyone? Right, okay. Chewy and Lena. Great. I think that's probably for other reasons, actually. Good. Well, it's great to be here, isn't it? And what a joy to be together, and for those listening online at home as well, good to see you as well. And often Christmas is full of surprises, isn't it? And has anyone had a nice surprise this morning? Good. Yeah, one or two. Excellent. Good. Emily, what was your surprise? A new jigsaw, fantastic, yeah. Very good. Karen, what was your surprise? Excellent. Very good. That's a very happy surprise, isn't it? Well, it leads me on to the next thing to say, which actually sometimes you get a nasty surprise at Christmas. And there we go, that's a good illustration of that. Christmas sometimes has good surprises and sometimes less good surprises. And just to help us understand this, I've got two presents. One is a happy surprise, and one is a bit more of a nasty surprise. The thing is, they're both in identical packages, so I don't know which one's which. Do two children want to come and help me to open these rather scary packages? Yep, okay. Abby, come on out. All right, there's one. And if you want, you can keep what's in the box, okay? You ready? You open that one. Does anyone want to open the second one? Can't see any hands up at all. Yep, do you want to come on out? Oh, stay up here. Because, well, I want to see. Do you want to open it? Okay, there we go. Nice Christmas jumper. Excellent Christmas dress. Okay. What is that? Harry, what have you got?
Sprouts.
Brussels sprouts! Fantastic! Is that a good surprise or a bad surprise? Shrug. They're slightly off. I'd say that's a nasty surprise. Okay, Abby, what about you? Is that a good surprise or a happy, bad surprise?
Good.
It's chocolate. Isn't that fantastic? So, Harry, chocolate or Brussels?
Chocolate.
Okay, fine. You can share the nice surprise. And well done, you two. Thank you very much. You can keep that. Okay, off you go. Very good. So, surprises at Christmas. Well, we often get surprises, don't we? In the Bible story, can you remember anyone who got a surprise at Christmas time? Yeah? Jesus? Well, he was a big surprise, wasn't he? Yeah, that's right. Okay, anyone else? Yeah? Mary got a surprise? Yeah? The shepherds, they got a surprise? Yeah, anyone else? Esther? King Herod, he got a very bad surprise, didn't he? Yeah, absolutely. So lots of people got surprises, and it's often how God works, especially at Christmas time. God surprises us, and that's very true for our story this morning. It's a story full of surprises, and I want us to think very seriously about this story because lots of us in the building will have heard it many times, but actually, it's quite surprising. And here are three surprises. The first surprise is, well, this. So I need a bit of help to unpack this first surprise. Anyone want to come and give me a hand with this? Alfie, do you want to come and help me? Yep. Well done. I'm afraid you can't keep this because it belongs to someone, but just open it up and see what's inside. That's it. Just rip it open. Ooh, what's that? Do you know what that is?
Blanket.
It's a blanket. And can you see what it says on it? Anna Elizabeth. That's quite a long word. That's Anna's middle name. So that's Anna's baby blanket from when she was born. Oh, isn't that nice? And now she's a big 11-year-old, aren't you, Anna? Not to embarrass you at all. Right, thanks, Alfie. You can go and sit down. So there we go. The first surprise is about a baby who is the king. That's the first surprise. The baby is actually the king. Now, if you've got one of those little cards that we put on your seat, you'll see the Bible reading on there. Just have a look at it and have a look at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So actually, there are two kings in this story. There's King Herod, but also King Jesus. And the real king is Jesus. The wise men came to worship Jesus. Now, the big question is, how do they know that Jesus is a real king? Well, there are two reasons in the story. One of the reasons is on the crib there, on the nativity scene. It's a big star. It's a big star. And these wise people followed the star to meet Jesus. The star showed them that someone very special was going to be born. Just have a look at the passage again and have a look at verse 9. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where Jesus was. They saw the star and were overjoyed. And the point is, the star showed that this baby was someone very, very special indeed. Now, I was born on October the 18th, 1972, in Southmead Hospital in Bristol. Although my mother always tells me I was almost born on the Clifton Suspension Bridge, but that's another story for another time. Just don't go there. When my kids were born, there was no star above the hospital in Hull and Cambridge. When I was born, I don't think there was a star above Southmead Hospital. Was anyone born with a star above their hospital? No? Well, Jesus was, because he was very, very special indeed. And I take it, because God is the creator of the stars, he can make it so that the star is there for all to see. So that's the first sign that the baby is the king. There's another reason, though, and that is the Bible. Because the experts in the Bible that Herod asked, well, they tell them something important. Have a look at verse 5. Grown-ups, just go back to that passage. Verse 5, children, just look over a grown-up's shoulder. So verse 5, the Bible said that the king was going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet's a chap called Micah, has written, "You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people." So the Bible says hundreds of years before King Jesus, a king is going to be born in Bethlehem. And the wise men come a very long way. They follow the star. They hear what it said in the Bible. And they know this baby is really the king. Not Herod, it's Jesus. So that's the first surprise in this story. The baby is the king. Now we've seen one surprise so far, haven't we? That the baby is actually the king. But now we've got another surprise. And Matthew, I wonder if you could help me with this, because I want you to hold up the world, if that's all right. You need to be a big, strong lad for this. here we go. Oh, my goodness, that's heavy, isn't it? Right, just stand over there. That's it. Very good. Fine acting. Excellent. The second surprise is actually that Jesus is the king for the whole world. And that is an amazing thing. He's the king for the whole world. In other words, this baby has come to be king for everyone. Now, actually, Matthew doesn't tell us much about the wise men. Magi simply means astrologers or philosophers or something like that. That's what the word literally means. And they were from the east, probably somewhere in Iran or somewhere like that. But it wasn't from Israel. They weren't part of God's people. They'd travel hundreds and hundreds of miles. We don't actually know how many of them there were. There were just possibly 2, possibly 100, we don't know. But the point is, they're not God's people, they're from afar. But they still come to worship because Jesus is the king for everyone. And actually, they're the first people in Matthew's gospel to understand that Jesus is the king for everyone. And throughout Matthew's gospel, many people understand that Jesus is the king for everyone. And do you remember how the gospel ends? Jesus says, go into all the nations and tell everyone about me. That's an amazing thing. There is not one person for whom Jesus cannot be king. Now, on this globe, we've got all sorts of nations, and I thought I'd just shout out a few nations. Just put your hand up if you're from... anyone from here from Malaysia? Yeah, okay, 1 or 2, good. Anyone here from China? Okay, anyone here from... anyone here from America? Okay, anyone here from England? Okay, good. Anyone here from any part of the African continent? Great, excellent. Anyone here from North or South America? Excellent, great. 1 or 2 represented, fantastic. In other words, we've got people from all over the world, haven't we? And our church family is a representation of all nations who have come to understand who Jesus is. And whoever you are, wherever you have come from, Jesus can be your king as well. Matthew, happy standing there for just a few more minutes? Good, great, okay. Because I want to tell you about one last surprise. And the third surprise is that not everyone loves this king. Not everyone loves this king. Now, you'll notice Herod reacted badly back in verse 3. Just take up, grown-ups, those cards and have a look at verse 3. Because you would have thought that Herod would have been delighted that there was a king from heaven. But no. When King Herod heard about this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. In fact, we're going to discover tomorrow, he was so annoyed, very tragically, he killed all the children under 2 in Bethlehem. He was furious. But it's just a little reminder, right at the heart of the Christmas story, that not everyone submits to Jesus. Not everyone wants Jesus as their Lord. And actually, that's a bit of a nasty surprise in the story. The Christmas story is full of surprises, and one of them is every single one of us does not want Jesus to be our king, naturally speaking. So this is a crown, you can see. And the point is, so often we want to put the crown on our heads. We want to be king and queens of our lives. But there is only one king in the universe, and that is Jesus. And what Jesus requires of us is to put our crowns before him and allow him to be king. What did Jesus do later on in his life? He didn't stay in the crib. He died on the cross to take all our sin so that we could be forgiven and set free. Now, we do a very strange thing here at All Saints on Christmas Day. We're going to do it a bit later on. We're going to share bread and wine together, if you want to stay afterwards, just for a few minutes, to pause and remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. What a strange thing to do. We're supposed to be thanking God for the baby born in the crib, but we're not actually. We're thanking God that he sent Jesus to be our King and Savior so that all our sin could be dealt with and we could be friends with God. And the wise men give us an example of how to respond to Jesus. Just last verse, have a look at verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with their mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were very expensive treasures. They gave the king their very best because Jesus was the true king. Let me end with a little story. Just to help us, I've got one final thing to unwrap. It's a bit of a strange thing, but anyone want to help me unwrap this? Esther, do you want to come on out? Again, you can't keep this because I'm going to need it for later, but just rip all the paper off, gone. Rip it, that's it. Perfect. Very good. Can you see what it is? What's that?
It's a
tray. Isn't that odd? How very strange. A tray. There we go. Why would I bring a tray to church? Well, one time there was a little boy. He was in a church gathering like this, and it was in the days where they took a collection at the end of the service, and someone would pass a bowl round, and the idea was, if you wanted to, you could put some money in the bowl for the church. And the little boy didn't have any money, so he fished around in his pockets, and he sort of, like little boys do, they had all sorts of things in his pockets. Oh, look, a couple of conkers. What else have we got? He fished around again. He went to junior church last weekend and got some candy canes. He had one of those as well, which he hadn't eaten yet. He wasn't too partial to candy canes. And what else did he find? He found, because it's COVID, he found a mask, all sorts of things. But he had no money at all, no money to put in the tray, in the basket. So what did he do? Well, when the tray came round, he took it off, put it on the ground, and then he stood in it. And he said to God, "You can't have my money because I haven't got any, but you can have me because I want to follow you as my king." And that is what Christmas invites us to do. Jesus says, "I want you to follow me. I long for you to be my friend. Will you be my friend and accept me as your savior?" If you want to think a little bit more, I've got some of these red booklets. We've been giving these away at Christmas time. Do take one if you'd like to, or do take it for a friend. We've got lots left, and you're very welcome to take that. It explains just a little bit more about how to respond to Jesus this Christmas time. But one last thing to say. Do you remember the hymn, "In the Bleak Midwinter"? The last verse says this: "What can I give him, poor that I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart." And that is what Jesus invites us to do today. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for this wonderful passage which shows us that Jesus is the real king. May each and every one of us give Jesus our hearts and follow him as our king and savior today. Amen.